Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Well, I got down to the source of the beefy five-layer burrito. Yep. That's right. Oh, the old shooter. No way. Is it grilled?
Hey, Mac, Ralph just texted. He said when it gets cold, he likes to cuddle, so be ready.
Oh, yes. I was hoping.
You can't follow that up with the five-layer burrito story, Bob. That just can't happen, man. That can't happen, man.
I don't like those being connected.
You know, Mac, Ralph likes to cuddle. Did you know this guy did with his BB five-layer burrito? If he lost, he'd shove it up his ass. Hey, my buddy Ralph really loves Taco Bell.
We're not stopping at Taco Bell, no.
No, you won't have to. You have food everywhere.
Yeah.
Unforgotten heroes of the Chiefs, man, who's ready for 95 to have themselves a game, baby? Like, I'm ready for Chris Jones to absolutely be destructive. He's had the time to rest with the calf injury. He's had notoriously known big plays in the playoffs, right? We remember the Brock Purdy deflection. We know that he has, now that we've said it, 11 pass deflections in the playoffs. I think he's played in the playoffs 7 years, right? At least
he's had an impact in every season of the postseason in a game that has been like the difference maker in that game. Every single postseason, Chris Jones has made a major play that has turned that game and turned the postseason for this team.
Yeah, it's to me, that's where, like, and Mac and I love this because we love the pressure stat. Like, it's when you look at the sack stat, it's nice, it's obvious, like, oh, wow, yeah. T.J. Watt, he had 16 and a half sacks. T.J. Watt's an anomaly. Myles Garrett's an anomaly. They're great at their position, and not a lot of people have been that good. Chris Jones could technically be an anomaly because it's been him and Aaron Donald that have been the two best defensive tackles, and both those guys notoriously known. Now, I know Donald's gotten sacks. Jones had seasons where he's had a lot of sacks. But as they get older and as they stay efficient, people take that away. But again, you're now taking two guys to stop him. He still creates pressure. I guarantee you at least multiple times in this game on Saturday, you will see where 95 gets through the guys trying to block him and C.J. Stroud has to bail. The more C.J. Stroud has to bail, the more they will fail, and the more everybody will love what they see on the result of that, because then that's when Trent McDuffie, that's when Jalen Watson, that's when those guys lick their chops,
Watson,
and they see
yes!
that the ball is not going to where it needs to be. It came out early. It came out late. Here's these guys making the stop. You know, Chris Jones causing the ripple effect on this defense. That's going to be the successful pattern in this Houston Texans game.
And that's the way you win football games for years. I mean, I know we focus on the defensive backs a lot, and oh my God, that guy's got a cover of this. If you don't get pressure up front, your defensive backs are on an island and they're effed, man, and they don't stand a chance, mm-hmm. a snowball's chance in hell of having success if you don't have a defensive line. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to be more than just about Chris Jones. I think this is going to be a Turk Wharton game. I think this is going to be a Mike Dana game, because I think those are the two guys that the Houston Texans are going to probably try to quote-unquote key on less because you've got Charles Omenihu who's healthy. You've got George Karloftis who's healthy. Together, those two guys are menaces. Like, mm-hmm. Karloftis has benefited so much from having Charles Omenihu back. Chris Jones now back in the middle. And now you've got Turk Wharton and you've got Mike Dana. Right now, I would imagine Spags is walking around that facility going, oh my God, I can't wait till Saturday. I finally have a healthy defensive front. And this is the first time all year that this defensive line has been healthy and together, because Omenihu missed the early part of the season and Chris Jones has been banged up. Everybody's healthy. Everybody's ready to go. That rotate. I didn't even mention Derek Nnadi. We were talking about him. Like, does he still even play here? Like, he hasn't done much this season, which is fine. But you have, and you got FAU as well. So you've got a rotation now to the level that Spags kind of wanted in July. And it's really interesting how we talk about Mahomes and this offense never having the right complement of players together, or the healthy complement of players together, until now. Same with the defense. And now all of a sudden you're healthy on offense and you're healthy on defense, and your biggest names, if you will, are along that defensive line. They're healthy. They're ready to go. And I think so much is going to be put on those three guys. And I think Turk Wharton, I think Mike Dana are going to have afternoons, guys. I really do. I think it's going to be a nice Turk Wharton game. Local kid, Missouri S&T, let's go. And so I like rooting for him, and I love Mike Dana. He's one of my favorite players. I think he's one of the most unsung heroes on this team. I think both of those guys are going to have days.
Mac, who's your big X factor on defense? Is it Chris Jones? Is the guy that's just going to start it all?
Yeah, I think that's pretty obvious. I mean, our guy Nate Taylor just came on and he said Watson's going to play, going to start. I think that's a huge X factor. I think that's even going underrated, because we saw the secondary take a big hit for a few weeks. They found their footing. They got, you know, Roland Wallace and all those guys, Josh Williams, all those guys going and get some reps. But Watson was a huge difference maker, so I'm excited to have him back.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting that Briscoe said that with him being able to, like, every once in a while cover Nico, which would be the number one wide receiver, you can slide McDuffie in the slot. And then you're like, is he going to take over, like, Robert Woods' route? Or is he going to cover Dalton Schultz? Or is he just going to free-storm blitz? And when that's the case, then that makes the quarterback think. Like, what's his video?
100%.
Like, what's he? Because that's not really out there a lot. We haven't seen a lot of blitzing from McDuffie this year, which is what made him so great his first 2 years in the league. Obviously, the luxury of LeJarius Sneed.
I'd like to see him just blitz. I think that's the fun thing.
Yes,
for me, I don't care about his slot coverage and all that kind of stuff. Him blitzing off the edge is just, it's fun.
He's
dynamite.
It's
fun to watch. Like, even if he doesn't get there, but you see him coming, it's like, oh, here we go. You can feel it. Like, here we go. And then he gets there and he makes a play or whatever. Like, that's what I'm excited for Trent McDuffie, to see that, you know, kind of style of his game and whatnot. And quite honestly, I don't know. I guess it's just my eyes and the way that they work. I never watch the defensive backs. It's always on the offensive line and defensive line for me to see what's going on up front. And then when the ball gets released, obviously, you kind of figure out where it goes. So I don't know if somebody's covering somebody for a long period of time or they staying with their guy and all that kind of stuff, because I'm watching the stuff up front. If the stuff up front crumbles right away, those guys back in the defensive backfield, those guys won't even get into their routes by the time Chris Jones and company get to the quarterback. That's kind of what I'm expecting this weekend, because we have not seen this full complement of defensive linemen all year. That's the exciting part for me, is that we're all healthy now.
Yeah, and this is a Texans O-line that can be had. So they can wreak havoc.
Yeah, they can. And it's been a kind of a concern for them all year. Yep. Every time you look about the Texans, it was about offensive line. And so good to know we're not the only ones having a problem.
Yeah.
Text line says that Laremy Tunsil's shown some weakness. Pressure off the left side should be interesting, because that's his blind side, is Laremy Tunsil.
And that's their best player. That's their only notable player on the front, and he has been had too. Which, I mean, we've had those conversations here, right?
You can't have Laremy Tunsil right now, though, right?
Yes, of course. Because you'd surround him with the best interior. Right now he's got Schmo and Joe next to him.
Right. Yeah. I mean, when they announced that Watson was going to be back on this defense, I was
so awesome.
I was like, okay, now you've got your two corners. Mm. Now you've got your safeties, Reed and Cooker, ready to go. I think, you know, Jaden Hicks, too, is a key player in this game, because he can just go out there and just run like a chicken with his head cut off and just stick somebody or just play center field.
And he's gotten reps.
We've literally named the whole roster now as key players.
True.
But that shows you the depth that this team has and the ability. Like, I don't know any other team, and that's why I still go back to, you know, Nate's comments about Mahomes being the real MVP, and that's why I picked him as the real MVP. I don't know any other team that could lose this kind of player, these kinds of players, I should say, and still be in this catbird seat. I mean, Detroit give them credit. They took care of business, right? And they were able to do it with a bunch of injured guys. Like, they lost arguably their heart and soul on defense, right? I mean, so you look at that Lions team, you got to give them a lot of credit for being able to kind of pick up the pieces. But, I mean, this Chiefs team has picked up the pieces better than anybody with all these injuries. And now we're healthy, man. This is July. This is what Andy Reid had in the script in July. This was his team minus Rashee Rice. This was the team that we went to camp with waiting to see. And it took to January 18th before we saw the team that they had on the field and they wanted on July 15th. The NFL. Monday, you want to doubt Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes? Let's go.
Monday, if we're talking about a victory, do you think we're saying it's because the offense or the defense?
I think I'm going to go defense. I think this defense is going to play big. I do. I think it's going to be one of these type of games. Like, let's say we win this game wild card style 41-14, just for argument's sake. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, 41 points for the offense. Yeah, but they limited Houston to 14 points, and to me, that's more impressive than putting up 41.
They go 41, there's a defensive touchdown on the board.
100%.
Yeah, or a special teams touchdown.
Yeah, return.
Or maybe both.
Let's say you, Machiavelli. You think there's an offense or defensive reasoning?
My take this whole season has been, well, these last 2 months at least, has been come January, this will be the best offense in the NFL. So I think we're about to see that on Saturday.
You're not whole season is January.
Yeah, exactly. why can't we have one of those games? Like, we were watching the highlights earlier of Ray Lewis picking off, was it Steve McNair? Mm-hmm. In the 2000 AFC playoffs?
Divisional round.
Yeah, yep. and like, it was a bad throw to Eddie George. It kind of went off him. Ray Lewis picked it up and scored and ran like 52 yards for a touchdown. And we're looking at that, and Brian Billick celebrating. I go, yeah, because he drew that up. Right? But, like, that's what I want this weekend. I want a party in the third quarter.
Yes.
You know? Come I on. Do. I want a part. I want fun. I want a party. I want a celebration. I want people having a good time and not sweating this one out and then rolling into Saturday night and taking Sunday to just to kick back and laugh at people freezing their tails off.
I think
of
the
Buffalo.
Reason that I want that is because I want the fan bases and the teams of Buffalo and Baltimore and be like, oh, shit.
And that's the other thing. Yeah, that's crap. The other. That's the subconscious thing, but not just the team, not just the fans, the other teams watching that.
Oh, boy, they're not rusty at all. That's Bob. I am Dusty, and that's Mac. And the divisional round coverage here on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up next, it's the Goldilocks. It's time to win some money, baby.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. It's time for Golden Locks with Alex Gold.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this thing. It's simply too good.
It's that guy from that betting show.
Which one?
That one. Alex Gold joins us in the 9 o'clock hours. He does every Thursday. Welcome to the show, Mr.
Gold. What's up, guys? How are you?
I'm good. Not wearing shorts today. It's going to be 45.
I mean, tomorrow the pools are opening back up.
Yeah,
so it's going to be 50.
Baby. You don't even need a pool. You just go in your backyard and swim in melted snow.
Can we get this stuff to finally mellow out?
No, it's going to freeze.
Let me run this by you real fast. Get all your opinions on this one.
Okay.
My friend Vip is in the Las Vegas airport right now. And he sends me a picture of the Raiders team store in the Las Vegas airport.
Okay.
Nobody in it. And I zoom in and I'm scanning all the merchandise. It's all Raiders, like a hockey jersey with Max Crosby on it. Raiders. The only shirt that I see that has the city on it is one for sale that says Los Angeles Raiders.
Really? Huh. That's...
Are they trying to do like the Los Angeles Strong?
Nope.
No. Those are all, I think, for those are all literally say like the team logo with LA Strong or whatever.
I don't see one piece of merchandise in this Raiders store in Las Vegas that says Las Vegas Raiders on it.
Hmm.
That is insane to me.
Is that just an airport thing? Because they figure there's people coming in from LA all the time and it's just like they're trying to appeal to them versus.
I don't know. But if you're the Raiders, aren't you trying to market that? I don't know. People will buy that show, I'm sure. I would buy that shirt just to have it to see Los Angeles, you know, because it's different. But that's weird to me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that would be like, I don't even know. Like, that would
When's the last time you bought something non food related at an airport?
Never.
Yeah, I was gonna say, honestly, I don't know if I ever have.
I think I bought something because I was an idiot and did the shampoo thing. So they were selling like little plastic bottles that you could
condense. Yeah, but like some of these airports have suit shops in them.
Well, for a while there was like a
who's getting their hair cut in an airport? I guess if you're so busy, people are doing that.
I think one time. Does beer count? I guess food and beverage. But like, I get, one time, they had like the T-shirts in the vending machine at the old. I did that one time just to see what I get. And I was like, I just wasted. I mean, it was like a dollar.
I get. If somebody has to have a cell phone charger, they use the vending machine for that. Yeah. But I'm just talking about like going into a store and buying a hoodie or I guess if you're in a, it's different to me if you're in Cancun or something, and you know. But I'm just randomly in the Milwaukee airport. Am I buying a
Giannis jersey?
You know, you might. I mean, but I can get that anywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So the other thing about the cell phone chargers, never buy one of those. Just go to any hotel and say you left yours in your room. They'll show you a box. Just take what you need. I'm serious.
I guess they probably have hundreds of them.
And they're not, hundreds
those
of
people
them.
Ain't ever coming back.
Right. Nobody ever. When have you ever gone back? It's only a cell phone charger. I'll get another one. You go to the front desk at a hotel. Go. I was in a room. I left my cell phone charger. Can I see if you got it? They'll bring you out a box.
I've never thought about that, but it makes sense.
Yeah. Or just go to a restaurant and say you left your sunglasses. There's like a pile of them.
Ah, see, that's where I don't want to wear somebody else's sunglasses. I'm a germaphobe.
I had a guy tip me $5 one time, left a nice pair of Oakleys. We left them up there for a couple weeks. He never came back. I said, I guess I'll take this as my tip.
You just took them.
Yeah.
Did you sell them then on eBay or something, make some money off of them?
No, they're my swim glasses. They're not like an expensive pair of Oakleys. They're not like they're definitely not like the goofy movie ones that like Mahomes and those guys wear that cover half your face.
The ski goggle looking sunglasses.
I mean, live
your life, but like.
Yeah. I could never pull those off. So it's like you just.
You're also 30.
Yeah. Mahomes is 30, and it's a little bit different when you're a professional athlete.
And you're getting a lot of money for that. Okay, let's get to the conversation, the betting segment. 8.5 Chiefs. You love, hate, stay away. What do you like here?
Yes, I think there's other bets within the game we can get to that are more intriguing to me than the spread. If I had to bet the spread, I feel comfortable taking the Chiefs 8.5. I liked it when you could have got at 7.5 earlier on in the week. You just look at the history of not only Mahomes, as we all know, in the divisional round, but also just how teams have fared in the divisional round, and typically even as 8+ point favorites, they cover like 15-10 over the last 25 or so when teams are 8 points or more favorites. The Chiefs and Lions both fall into that spot this week. She's going to be in the house, but also they didn't play that long ago. I mean, they played in week 16. I think the Chiefs are as healthy as any NFL team can be this late in the season.
I said earlier, we have our full complement of players. Like when they went to camp on July 15th, other than Rashee Rice, this is what they thought, and they haven't had this until today.
Yeah, it's true. And here's how the Chiefs have fared in playoff openers for Mahomes, and these are games in which Mahomes was healthy, which he also had some more time to get that ankle right. They won by 18 going all the way back to 2018. They won by 20 in their first playoff game in 2019 against the Texans. We all know that. 2021, they beat the Steelers by 21 in their opener, and then last year they won by 19 against the Dolphins. So I just think typically it's another scenario where you get a little extra time to prepare. It would not surprise me at all if the Chiefs win by 10 points or something like that on Sunday, but that's not my favorite bet in game. I think there's some prop bets. I'm sure you guys have been paying attention to some of them out there as well, specifically Travis Kelce.
Sure.
It's the playoffs. We all know how this goes for him.
52.5 is what I saw on DraftKings for receiving
yards. So I like the receiving better than the reception. So right now he's had 13 straight postseason games with at least 70 yards receiving. That's the longest streak in playoff history. Mm-hmm. He also has 5 or more receptions in 14 straight games. And if you look on FanDuel or Bob over at Underdog when they're listing their numbers, they're all going to have that 5.5. Makes sense because he's got the streak. Mm-hmm. So that one is juiced pretty heavily to -145. So you're paying a little bit of a price to bet it. Mm-hmm. Whereas what you just said, the receiving yardage, I know that he's had 13 straight games of 70 or more, and his number's at what? You said 52?
2.5.
So I think there's more wiggle room. I like the receiving yardage bet for Kelce more than the receptions. You might be right that he hits both, but I think the yardage is a little bit more in play than even the receptions because it's not -145 for me to bet the yardage. Is the way it is.
Yeah, Underdog has a 53.5 receiving yards, 5.5 receptions, half a touchdown, rushing and receiving touchdowns at a half.
I'm out on touchdown bets for everybody except for Patrick Mahomes this weekend. So I don't think there's any value on 2-1 for Kelce to get a touchdown or Kareem Hunt to get a touchdown. Anytime touchdown markets, unless you're going with the flyer on first touchdown where the odds are, much, much greater for you, or value, I should say, is much greater. I think that market has been kind of condensed so well by the bookmakers where it's hard to bet an anytime touchdown unless you're going way down the board. This week, my only touchdown bet in the Chiefs game that I like is Patrick Mahomes. And the thought process there, remember, this would have to be a rushing touchdown, not a passing touchdown,
right.
Is we all see in the playoffs, he just runs more in the postseason. That's just the numbers back it up. We all know some of the greatest moments, you know, the sideline, you know, he's not out of bounds yet, call from Mitch against the Titans in the AFC title game. Like, some of his big moments are running the football down the sideline.
Right.
I think it's more likely in a game like this that Mahomes gets a rushing touchdown than it was, you know, 5 weeks ago in a regular season game. He's spoken publicly that he's willing to put his body on the line more in crucial moments. Well, here we go. It's do or die time. It's the postseason.
Do you like Travis Kelce, though, as the first TD scorer in this, or do you not like him to get in the end zone at all? Because I personally think it's going to be a huge postseason again for Travis Kelce. And that means getting into the end zone,
sure,
obviously. And I think they're going to make it a point to get him into the end zone because he's been saving it all year, right? I mean, it's no secret the last two regular seasons, Travis is like, just get me to the playoffs and let's see what I can do. That was the playoff time. I just expect Travis Kelce to go hog wild out there and go crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we just mentioned, I mean, 13 straight games in the postseason where he's had over 70 yards. And the touchdown bet, the only way I would do it would be maybe a first touchdown bet flyer. Otherwise, it's just there's not enough value there to bet on a touchdown market for most of these players. Unless,
or
again,
he scores two.
Sure, something like
you
that.
You bet the 1,100.
There plus, you go.
Yeah, that's the way you'd get the money or the juice there. Because you just bet five and you win, you know, your money back. Let's look at the Texans side. Who do you like? Like Nico, Mixon, any numbers there? Stroud numbers? Like Stroud doesn't really run really at all. I do think he's going to be pressured, so I think there's a little bit of value there.
In terms of him just running off of a scramble, like
right,
because he's under pressure?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, for his rushing total, by the way, for those wondering over at FanDuel, 14.5. It's a very low number. We saw last week against the Chargers, it takes one play to get that. You know, a play broke down, and he was able to go, and it kind of changed
Mahomes
the game a little
24.5,
bit.
24.5, FYI, for those that wanted to know.
Yeah, so it's such a low number. It's not my favorite bet, but it's... With Stroud and that number being as low, it is, we are talking about one scramble. Mm-hmm. He's able to get away one time to get you there. I'd have to go back and look on Stroud yardage throughout the season. How often has he gone over 14.5? I know it's on first glance, we're like, that's a low number. My guess is it's so low. He probably hasn't got over that often. But I do think with all these quarterbacks, especially if you look at, with the exception of maybe Goff and Stafford, I'm trying to think. I think they're all mobile other than that, off the top of my head. They're all more likely to run in the playoffs because you're willing to put your body on the line more in these moments. It just doesn't, you're not protecting yourself the way you would in week three.
Yeah, that's why the 23.5 total rushing yards on underdog right now for Patrick Mahomes are like higher.
Yeah, no, yeah. I like that. And that's what same logic as the touchdown bet. Just that I think it's just more likely for him to take off and run. The ankle should be feeling pretty good. Mm-hmm. Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, you know, will obviously give you some opportunities there.
Are there any bets where you're looking at this weekend for the Chiefs and the Texans where you're like, I am staying away. I'm not going near that thing. I don't care what it is. Anything that kind of scares you, if you will.
Over under?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not on the total for the game. If you're talking about that, I would say it's interesting. Right now, unless this changes, it's going to be the lowest total in a Mahomes playoff game ever.
What is it, 41?
So it's 41. Yeah, it's 41.5, 40, depending on where you look.
Why you don't like that number, or you think that number is perfect?
I think it's getting too. It's almost getting to the point where if it keeps going down, I might take the over in the game. They played in week 16 and it was 27-19, so that was over the number that we're sitting at. But if this game closes anywhere under 43.5, and it's 2 points under right now, it would be the lowest over-under for any playoff game that Patrick Mahomes has ever played in. And, you know, like, what does that actually mean? I this is an offense that now had more time to integrate Hollywood Brown. We saw what he did. I would not be surprised if the Chiefs put up 27-plus or 30 points in the game. And I know this defense is playing great, but to get over that number, if the Chiefs are putting up 28 or 30, you're not asking for the Texans to score 24 points.
No.
You don't really need much. So it's getting low enough where I'm leaning towards the over in that game if we had to make a total bet.
Because I don't think the Texans are going to score a lot. I think this is going to be a great defensive effort by the Chiefs with everybody being healthy. So with that number, it kind of makes sense. Like, do you think the Chiefs are going to put up 42 points on their own if the Chiefs pitch a shutout? Not that they will.
I mean,
but
could look a lot like that Buffalo-Denver game, too.
Yeah, 31-7 or something. Yeah.
The only one thing to watch, I would say, in the if you're looking for just a completely different way to approach betting the game, is the first half. And this, for whatever reason, the Texans this year and D'Amico Ryan, throughout his career as a head coach, year and a half, whatever, he's been really good in the first half. So maybe at halftime, Chiefs fans are stressed out because the game is close in the first half. Doesn't mean they can't win. Right. But the Texans are 14-4 against the spread in the first half this year. So they get off to a good start. Maybe you do buy into any of the rust stuff, and for a quarter the Chiefs' offense is slow. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but this would be the logical why you would bet the Texans first half. The Texans are 4.5-point dogs in the first half. All right, and they cover 14-4 in the first half, and D'Amico Ryans with C.J. Stroud is 26-9 in the first half against the spread. So there's a lot of strong numbers behind betting the Texans to cover the first half in this game.
By the way, 8 times is when he went over 14. So
less than half the season. Okay,
yeah, because if you count the playoff game, that was the 8th time. So let's go around the league. Is there a game? Let's talk about the biggest game.
Buffalo, Baltimore.
Buffalo is a dog at home. Gold, you know me. I love to gamble. I always take home dogs in the playoffs. I have ever since I've been able to legally gamble. I've done it with my friends. I'll take the underdog at home. I still like Buffalo in this game over Baltimore, and I don't know how I can explain it. I just think that at home in that weather with that temperature, I know Lamar's good. I know he's going to be all right, but on the road in those frigid, like the temperature's nasty in Buffalo, like 9 degrees and a chance of snow. Yeah. I'm interested to see how that works out for him.
So the line flipped throughout the week. It opened up where you're at, which is the Bills being the favorite, the home team, and we all know the line is completely reversed. The Baltimore Ravens are now 1.5-point favorites. This is the first time, if it closes this way, that the Bills will be home underdogs in a playoff game since Lynn Dawson went into Buffalo back in the 60s, 1967, when they lost 31-7 to Kansas City.
I mean, and they were 3.5-point dogs. Advantage with the weather. I mean, that's crazy to think and 18, say it out loud, but
18 straight home playoff games for the Bills, they've been favorites.
Wow.
So that's, if we're looking at some history in terms of if this line closes this way. I'm on the opposite side of you. I think it's a coin flip game. I actually like Baltimore in this game. And I get people's skepticism about Lamar the postseason, and Josh Allen typically plays great in the playoffs. I don't like it's the matchup thing. You know, like if we were just asking and ranking out who's the better team, I also think Josh Allen should be the MVP this year, not Lamar Jackson, even though Lamar's been incredible. I think Josh Allen's more valuable to his team.
Yeah, Lamar had Derek.
But it's not a great matchup. You guys had Nate Taylor, I think, on today. We had him on earlier in the week, and he was talking. We had Ross Tucker on as well, and they both said the same thing about the Bills and Sean McDermott and the way they play defense. Like, they're not maybe willing to commit to stopping the run the same way some other teams will. Well, you're playing the Baltimore Ravens. You're playing Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. Like, if you're not going to do that,
Baltimore's offensive coordinator is committed to stopping the run at times.
Well, this is why I like them too. I'm glad you brought that up, because we all know last year against the Chiefs, they refused to run the football. I was like, what the hell are you doing?
Right.
Last week against a terrible Steelers team, and I think all three of us called the Steelers being out in that one. They had a 13 play drive, the Ravens did. They ran all 13 plays. That shows me that they're actually willing to do it this go around, especially when Derrick Henry's the guy. Mm-hmm. I think Baltimore ultimately is who's coming to Kansas City next week. I like Baltimore on the money line. You can -1.5. It's a pick 'em anyway. I'm on the Ravens.
And you had like almost like a deep look into the future where like either way if they played Baltimore or Buffalo, they were both the Chiefs
are favorite. Yeah, they sent the lines out yesterday. Chiefs are a favorite against Buffalo and a bigger favorite against Baltimore than Buffalo is what I saw.
So at least that, and maybe it's different at different books, at least at FanDuel, the look ahead lines, the Chiefs would be 1.5-point favorites against both Buffalo and Baltimore. And someone asked earlier on Twitter, like, hey, how does this stuff work? You can bet on these look ahead lines, and if the matchup doesn't happen, your bet's voided, right? Yeah. So it's not like you're risking.
It's like betting for a guy to get a home run. He has to have an at bat for it to be actually an actual bet.
If you think there's better value on the line now, if you think the Chiefs are winning and they're playing, let's just say Baltimore, and you're like, okay, well, the Chiefs won't be 1.5-point favorites. They're going to be underdogs or something. Well, then if you want to wait. If you think Baltimore ends up being the favorite, then right now you might think there's good value on betting the Ravens currently at 1.5.
See, because, I got the Chiefs and Ravens as a pick'em next week right now.
Okay, is that offshore?
This is the whatever that
Shapiro.
Yeah,
Sinatra,
whatever
that's
Jimmy
offshore.
Bet online.
So that's offshore, and that's fine. I mean, there's different lines that can maneuver. These hypothetical matchup lines don't mean that that's guaranteed how it'll open, but that's where there's some value at times if you think you know how the weekend's going to play out.
Yeah, because somebody could get hurt. And then all of a sudden, that, like, if Derrick Henry got hurt, that line would shift drastically. But you'd be like, I got the Chiefs at -1.5, so, like, that's cool.
Let's just play this out. And I think it's very tough for a 15-win team to ever be able to play the underdog role, but I kind of like what I think could happen this weekend, which is the Ravens go up to Buffalo. Tough environment. We just mentioned how it's rare to be a home dog.
Smash them.
They look pretty darn good.
Yeah.
And let's say the Chiefs squeak by instead. The Ravens will be favorites next week, and I hope that's what happens. It requires both those things happening. I mean, if the Chiefs are dominant, they'll be a favorite, and they're at home.
But same thing with Buffalo, though. If Buffalo were to like dominate against Baltimore, and the Chiefs squeak 27-24, same thing. They'll put Allen as a favorite.
So that's why, like, from a Chiefs angle, if you're looking at betting look ahead where they're already 1.5-point favorites, unless an injury happens, I think you hold off on betting the Chiefs in. The only reason why I would do a look-ahead line now would be betting Baltimore as the 1.5-point dog right now, or Buffalo as the dog, because I don't think the Chiefs are going to become even bigger favorites unless they put together just another 51-31 win like they did against the Texans.
All right, not a gambling take per se, but if the Chiefs are underdogs in the AFC Championship game at home, I feel sorry for the opponent, man.
Hammer. Oh, I hope it happens.
Hammer.
Make the same mistake.
I mean, right?
Going to do this whole thing again? Remember last year? Now, they were on the road at Baltimore, but one of the books, our friends out in Vegas at Circa, they continued because they were desperately needing money on the Chiefs, and so they kept pushing the line out, and I think at one point the Chiefs closed, at least at Circa, like as 4.5-point dogs, even at that book, and which is crazy. Like, and people make the same mistake. They're dislike, not the books, but fans nationally, dislike for the Chiefs so much that they're willing to blow their own money. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because they hate the Chiefs that much outside of here. And so it's shaping up, guys, to happen again.
Right. It is. And that's the thing. Like we talked about, Sean Payton's comments about, we will be ready for the Chiefs.
So
so next year when you're getting ready to bet the Denver Broncos against the Chiefs, load up on the Chiefs.
I know.
Vegas
this year with Kermit the Frog, and that didn't really pay out.
Weren't there some injuries that popped in that game?
That was D-Hop's first game, actually, I think.
Yeah, week 8 and week 13.
I mean, I don't know. The only injury I remember from that game, unfortunately, was Jody Fortson. There was a minute left in the game, unfortunately.
Season. That's the one where they scored late, and it was 27-13.
Not the one at home with the O'Connell fumble or whatever.
Yeah.
Moving around the other two games in the NFC, I love the Rams +6.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Okay. I'm definitely on the Rams. Last week we talked about them. They were fresh, they were rested, and we liked the Rams quite a bit. I still think there's a chance they end up in the NFC title game. Mm-hmm. I like them to cover +6. I like them to win outright. I think they're going to Philly and getting a victory.
Okay, I don't disagree with
that. That's +235. That's a good cheese.
So both. The way I'm betting it is just to that way you're not going 0-4. I'm doing the spread and a money line bet. Mm-hmm. That way, look, at worst case, I think they can cover. I also have the Rams in a teaser, and for those that haven't been listening to the segment throughout the season.
Which segment?
Well, this segment, but also that betting show.
Which one?
That one. And you can tease the Rams up to 12.5 points, even a 6-point teaser. And then you could tease the Chiefs down if you're really nervous. And all of a sudden the Chiefs are 2.5-point favorites and then the Rams are 12.5-point dogs. I'm not saying it's a sure thing by any means, but I would feel very good about that situation. It would be -130 if you did that. But
Are there odds out there that if Philadelphia loses, like Sirianni getting fired, can you bet that right now?
That would be more on the offshore stuff from Jimmy Shapiro that sends out that kind of stuff. You wouldn't be able to bet on that on FanDuel or any of these other sites.
I was going to say, you can also go to the offshore, and I bet there's an appearance number of Taylor Swift. I bet it's 3.5.
That's where even when we here in a couple weeks, we'll talk Super Bowl and everything when you guys are down there. The odds on that kind of stuff, a lot of it you can't bet here.
Some of the fun ones,
but the Gatorade.
Because I got a guy that I know could look into those coolers and tell me what color I kid. But
that's in all seriousness, that's why a lot of the books don't offer it, because it's a market like that is so easy to same with the anthem. You can't in Kansas
go look at the Gatorade and tell me what color it is.
Purple. Can you gamble legally in New Orleans?
Yes, they have casinos.
Louisiana, why Texas doesn't have it. So a lot of people believe the reason why the state of Texas doesn't have sports betting or casinos is because the lobbyists in Louisiana spend just millions and millions and millions of dollars preventing Texas, trying to lobby against it.
Oh, yeah, because everybody comes over.
Yeah, when I lived in Houston.
Isn't the dome called the MGM Dome?
It is. No, you can gamble in Louisiana. Yeah.
Like on your phone, it's legal gambling.
It depends on what parish you're in Louisiana. It's based on parish down there, not by state, which is
interesting.
So they're because when we're doing
Caesar's
the reads,
is big down there.
Yeah, Caesar's has a nice casino right in the center of New Orleans. It's a cool little place. But they always say on those commercials, you hear those national gambling commercials, and they say in Louisiana based on parish. So
interesting.
I guess it depends.
I think
on
you're
where
good
you
in
are.
New Orleans. I mean, heck, the stadium is the Caesar's Superdome or whatever, it's called. Yeah. I've drawn a blank on what we were discussing about the betting stuff with that in the Super Bowl. But anyway,
The prop bets,
some of the prop bet stuff. Texas and all that. That's what we were talking about. I would drive from Houston to Lake Charles all the time.
That's not a far drive though.
Hour and 45, two hours.
We hijacked a bus one time. I went to a casino. What? I'm sorry.
All right.
I need more on that.
Right, well, go get it. Well, we were.
Pop
I was doing
quiz, hot shot. There's a bus going down the freeway. Last one, Detroit, 9.5. You think that house money's running out for Washington?
I want the Commanders to keep this going. I do think overall Jaden Daniels is just a big game player, right? He's one of those special quarterbacks that steps up, unlike Justin Herbert, unlike Sam Darnold, that just don't have it in big games. But no, I think the Lions are going to beat him up good. I don't know how the Commanders slow down the Lions offense, and that's why it's the highest total of the week, too. I think that one could get ugly.
55.5.
Yeah, I think it could get ugly, as much as I would love for the Commanders.
And how many people in Kansas City are really going to see that one by the time we all get home from the game, do our thing, you know?
Very true.
Yeah, I won't be sober. What do you got coming up on the show today?
Yeah, so obviously we'll discuss some of the Sean Payton comments. Sarah Walsh from NFL Network, she's covering the game. She's going to be in town this week. She'll join us around 10:30 or so. Dane and Hughes, 12:10. So we'll get 2 days away, guys. We're 2 days away from...
Today's Friday.
Yeah.
Feels like it. It is. Yeah, in the Chiefs world.
Yeah. By the way, if you're hungry, there's Vegemite sandwich out there if you want to try it.
I'm so out on that.
Yeah, I am too.
Oh, gosh.
There's still... Like, we did that 2 hours ago.
I heard that driving in. I heard you guys like joking about it. I'm like, why are they joking about Vegemite? And then you gave me the backstory, and I saw it out there. Nope. Even though I can't smell.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. No, you could taste that. That's one of those things that you'll taste.
Well, and I feel like that's, I would.
It's creamy.
Texture.
Yeah. Once you said it was creamy and like, yeah. I'm like,
I'm out.
It stayed with me for about an hour, man.
I'll see you guys.
It's like a stage 5 clinger, but food wise. Coming up on the side, Bob's got an question for the audience. He wants to know if he's abusing the system or doing exactly what he should be. We'll discuss what that is on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Mac, Bob needs your opinion. He wants us to be nice and let Speck, you know, kind of have an opportunity to try the Vegemite sandwich. Thinks we should leave him on his desk for when he gets back in town.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
No, I said we should hide it.
Oh, shoot. Oh, never mind. Yeah.
Hide it in his office, and that way it starts to decay and smell. And
I don't think it smells. Does it smell? I don't know.
I think most Vegemite was made in the 80s anyway.
If it made you hallucinate, would you eat it?
No.
Oh, man, I'd go have another.
No. The reaction that you two are still having 2 hours later to this.
Uh-huh.
Not good.
No, I'm having bad burps.
Ew. Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, see the it starts to repeat on you. You're going to be burping up that. Like when you eat onion or something, you know.
You're gonna bring up a story about another gas station. But I want to bring this up. Quick Trip tweeted this out yesterday. And they said things that should be banned before TikTok. Obviously, that's the conversation going on. TikTok's going to be banned. Backing into parking spaces, saying Happy New Year after January 7th, paying with all pennies. I don't know if people still did that. Parking at the pump to go inside. That's a no-no.
Yeah.
Daylight savings time, gas stations without rollers, and calling Twitter X. Those should all be banned before TikTok.
I agree.
Yeah.
The
backup guy at Quick Trip. Never understood it. Now, the only time I've ever understood it is
The guy parking backwards into the spot.
That's right.
It's easier to get out because, and I will tell you this.
At 5 o'clock in the morning?
Oh, no, not at 5 a.m.
Okay.
At 5 a.m., that's a different story. But like in the middle of the day, if you can it's easier to get out because there's no worse parking lot on earth other than a school parking lot at pickup time than a Quick Trip parking lot.
It's tough because everybody forgets how to drive in a parking lot once they go to Quick Trip. Yeah. It is insane.
They're awful. The one on Main has been awful for 25 years now. I mean, right there off the plot.
People that like cut through the pumps. And I'm like, dude, we don't know what you're doing.
It's awful. Like people just drive like idiots in the Quick Trip parking lot. It is terrible. Then you get to a school parking lot. But I now know if I have to go into the parking lot, I do back in because you're not getting out. You're just not. If you don't back in, you're not going to be able to get out. It's a pain in the ass, right? So Casey's, and I want to run this by everybody, and I know Carrington will be on my side in this one, right? I think you're on my side in this one. Mac probably is.
I 100% agree with you.
Yeah, I think most people would be on my side in this one. So in the app this month, to the end of the month, Casey's, which I love Casey's, love their pizza, their taco pizza, brioche, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
So good.
Crushed Doritos on top.
Their breakfast pizza is phenomenal as well.
Terrific.
I love it. And so in this month in the app, if you have the Casey's app, which I do, it's a free coffee every day. No purchase required. Just go in and get the free coffee. So I've been stopping every morning and getting the free coffee.
Size irrelevant?
No, any size doesn't matter. I refill my Manning Roofing mug and take it in there and get a refill with that, and boom, I'm ready to go. First 2 days I did buy something because there was, you know, some of those one bars were in the app. It was buy one, get one free. So I got one of those as well. But the last 2 days I went in there, I didn't buy anything. I just got the free coffee.
Sorry.
Am I okay doing that? Because I do feel kind of.
I think there's two sides of this. One, you're going in there when they're not busy because you're probably going in there, what, like 4:30, 4:45?
Yeah, about 4:30 in the
morning.
There's
no one else in there.
Nobody's
in there.
So
they're not busy.
Nothing's really open at that hour.
Now, if you were going in there and, like, you know, the register was packed and she was busy and you're just like, it's my free coffee, which I still don't think that's a bad idea, because if you do that, you're just like, yeah, it's just the coffee. They're like, all right, see you later. Also, I think the other part of it is that they're trying to get you to go in there to buy something.
Of course, yeah.
So they're like, hey, we're giving you a free something so you can pay for this, which you've already done that. You did the one bar. You've given your, you know, whatever, and you might go in there later on this month and get a slice of breakfast pizza as well. I don't know, like, what your day consists of, but, like, I don't hate it. Now, every day is excessive, like, go every day, but if you went, like, Monday, Wednesday, Friday to get a free cup of coffee, absolutely there should be zero problem. You will have people that will say something if you go there Monday through Friday. Because, like, I don't know, I didn't think people were in the wrong coming into Jack Stack on Tuesday to get a veteran discount for 50% off, and they only came in on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Like, why would I come in any other day? I'm getting a lunch for 50% off every Tuesday. I'm like, fair enough. You're still coming in here.
Any place that offers something for free, I always feel like I'm taking advantage of this
system. No, because you're talking about it on the air. So now people are going to go to Casey's.
Yeah, but still, I feel like I'm just, you know, because, I don't know, I just it just feels kind of weird.
It is weird, but I think you're in the, you're fine. No, I think that's completely, that's their promotion. Yeah, do it.
Okay.
Somebody drink coffee, I would.
Somebody says, yes, you're good. If they offer it, why should I feel bad taking it? Somebody says, it's fine. If they want to give you something for free, you should accept it with no consequences. Right? It's like I don't know, like when you go to somebody's house, like, my refrigerator is your refrigerator. Feel free to take anything you want.
Yeah.
You can find out who's really about that and who's not real fast.
Mm-hmm.
You go in there and grab like a soda or a beer out of their fridge and pop it and sit down. They're like, oh, nice.
You know, I don't care if somebody does that.
You said it was my.
Yeah, you want to help yourself. I don't care. That's never been an issue to me.
Now,
we don't have anything.
If they start for the rest of the month, buy one, get one free slice of pizza.
You're in there every day.
I'm in real big trouble. I'm in real big trouble. Because I know on the, like, McDonald's app, they were giving away, like, dollar 10-piece McNugget with any purchase of, like, fry or a Coke. Dude, I'll go get a Coca-Cola from McDonald's just to get a dollar 10-piece.
What's the best, like, freebie that you ever took advantage of via an app or something like that? Because these apps do offer, like, every place offers something in their app a lot of times.
Apple TV gave you, like, 30 days free to trial, like, and that's when you watch Ted Lasso.
Okay, I'll tell you what the best freebie is for everybody. Is when you have T-Mobile and they give you the baseball package for free on your
phone.
Lady
Nasty.
See?
That says Lady Nasty.
Right.
I don't know why it says that.
It's supposed to say LA Dynasty, and they combine the words, and it's Lady Nasty. But like the MLB TV for free on T-Mobile, I always take advantage of that. I think that's great.
Now, this is a Richard. The lady at Casey's said one guy came in 9 times in one day and got coffee and hot cocoa.
Okay. That's abusing the system.
Yeah, see, that's effed.
Dude. Yeah, that's abusing the system.
That's like 9 times?
Yeah.
In college, we would wait till 10:45. They would give us the breakfast pizza leftovers for free.
No. People eat breakfast pizza all day long. You and I were talking about that. The only food, in my opinion, that is acceptable to eat 24/7 is pizza.
But they don't put it on the rack all day long. After like 11, it's gone.
Oh, they do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It sucks. That's why, like, when we get out of here early, I'm like, I got to go to Casey's. I got to take Metcalf home and hit this little Casey's corner.
Yeah.
There'll be a slice or two left and I'll smash. But if I get to Lee Summit, it's like 11 o'clock.
It's
like,
gone?
It's like pepperoni sausage and that's our hamburger.
Oh, wow.
It is what it is. It's like McDonald's breakfast is like 10:30.
Yeah, I know. They close
what happened to that, dude? I thought it was 11. I got there the other day, and I was like, yeah, I got to do number 6.
Oh, it's been 10:30 forever.
Isn't Chick-fil-A, is it 10?
They're all 10:30.
10:30, yeah.
McDonald's used to do 24 hours, and then COVID hit.
And then they got rid of that.
Yeah, it sucked, dude. I was getting breakfast burritos at like 7 p.m. Gosh, breakfast food is so good.
The 815 says Vegemite on pizza.
Okay.
Also,
that's
good.
Not true. I did realize that I found this out. Pesto on pizza is good.
Like pesto's fantastic on pizza. Yeah.
Oh, pesto any base. Kind of pizza. Oh, that too.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's the Maui Wowie at Main Slice and Lee Summit. It's a pesto base, mozzarella cheese, pineapple,
out.
Ham, jalapeno, yeah, Caribbean jerk chicken.
Yeah, I'm out on all that.
Banana
stuff.
Peppers.
The pesto and cheese and everything else, I'm like, I'm out on that one.
It's pineapple on pizza. Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah, you can pick it off.
I like the rest of what you
like
said.
Like pesto and grilled chicken on a pizza is really good. A grilled chicken pesto pizza.
That's basically what this is. It's Caribbean.
You just said jalapeno, Caribbean jerk.
I never said jalapeno.
You didn't?
No, I said banana peppers.
Banana peppers.
Caribbean jerk chicken, pesto, mozzarella. There is Canadian bacon or ham. And then there's like the pineapple chunks.
That's nothing like grilled chicken and pesto. That's like 85 other things on top of that.
816, have you tried the Mac pizza from Casey's? I have not.
What's
that?
Probably
mac and cheese?
Man, what do you think it is? It's mac pizza.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Like it's macaroni and cheese on top of the
Mac's
pizza?
Mac's awesome.
Yeah, no sweet on my pizza except for barbecue. Okay. I just love that people are like, I'm not going to try it because there's this on it. Like, you might like it. Like,
no, I'd give it a shot.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And if you don't like it, take the pineapple off. It's like people don't like onions on pizza. You take the onion off the pizza, you still eat it.
But you don't order it with that. You could, like, customize your pizzas, too.
Yeah. I mean, you could do half and half.
Yeah.
We did that all the time back then.
That's what we did growing up. Half pepperoni, half mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
Half pepperoni, half plain. Yes.
I love mushrooms on pizza.
Same. I do, too. I love onion on pizza. Sauce.
Onion on pizza?
Oh, yeah. Thinly sliced onions on top of a pizza. Phenomenal.
Yeah. We used to go to the Double Whopper for breakfast after a night out.
Oh,
Lawrence BK. Ugh.
BK.
Dude, there is a Crab Rangoon pizza right now on Main Slice. It's Grains and Taps. It's another local place down in downtown. Awesome.
The original Crab Rangoon from Fong's in Detroit, in Des Moines is unbelievable.
People are saying that Casey's just added a jalapeno popper pizza.
Oh, God.
Wow.
I got to stay away from that. I got to stay away from that. That might be too rich, though. But
hot
that's
honey
also
drizzled.
Perfect. Hot honey drizzle?
That's what they said on the pizza. Jalapeno popper, really good cream cheese, and a hot honey drizzle. I'm all about that.
It sounds like a DVD I used to have. That is a made-up story. Burnt-end breakfast burritos. I still think
burnt ends and eggs are phenomenal.
Fantastic. I always tell people that when they take home their barbecue. I'm like, make a barbecue omelet in the morning. You will blow your mind.
I mean,
it's insane.
Phenomenal.
Like, if you have brisket or pulled pork left over or burnt ends, throw in the skillet, throw the scrambled eggs
on top, and mix it together, make a burrito, make a taco. Oh, my God, you're going to love life. Whew.
Somebody says, Dusty, where's that slice of pie? Which one? The Crab Rangoon Grains and Taps, downtown Lee Summit on 3rd Street across from Sharky's. It's fantastic. It's super thin, small pizza, too. Kansas City, go out there and do something nice for somebody today. You never know. Could change their day, week, month, or their year. It is simply cool to care. Be safe. Stay kind. Cody Alex and Gold. Cody Alex and Gold.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Cody, Alex, and Drew coming up next from 10 to 2 on 610, 96.5 The Fan. Just get off the microphone, Dusty.